Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface here at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. And the Winnipeg Jets have been defeated by the Calgary Flames in a 5-4 shootout loss. And I think the best thing you could say about this game, Richard, is that the third period was entertaining, but these are two teams that are not going anywhere quickly.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's right, Drew. I mean, the Flames are in full admitted rebuilding mode, and the Jets are not, but are building. We can talk about that for hours. But today's game is one of those games where if you're going to pretend to compete for a playoff spot, you have to just take care of business. I mean, the Flames, what do they have? How many wins do they have in season? Five?
I don't know. Sure, sounds about right. Pass me the score sheet over there.
You know, I mean, it's a team that lack of talent. I mean, there's like three, four guys on this team that have real, real big time talent, and the rest of the guys, you know, they work hard. I'll tell you that Calgary works hard.
6-11-3 coming into today was Calgary, but you're absolutely right. The Winnipeg Jets have to. This is a game that the Winnipeg Jets should have had in hand well before the third period.
Yeah, you come out to play the first two periods, you win the game.
That's right.
The Jets, like always, appears, you know, I mean, just
play down to the level.
Especially at home. Not play down, play up. This team isn't good enough to play down, play up, Drew. This team just...
I know.
You know, I mean, if they play down, then the Flames play down to their level. I mean, you know, it's... that one's getting old. And they skip two periods out, and they think they can just turn it on against a bad team. So I guess to that point, you know, you're talking about playing down, but I just don't think a team that isn't much better than the other team should be playing quote unquote down or you know.
Of course, it's a function of leadership.
My biggest thing to that, excuse me, as I always say, is if the Jets play down, then every team who plays them plays down.
Sure.
So.
Right. It's strictly a matter of leadership. The Jets have to in the dressing room. They have to know that this is a. You know, this is a game that is. I mean, it's not a free space on the bingo card, but it's you know you're playing against the. Probably the 30th place team in the NHL based on talent, night in, night out.
Based on talent, yes. I would agree with that.
I mean, this is, for the most part, an AHL caliber roster at this point. AHL with some, you know, good pieces who are just entering into the NHL, a guy like Sean Monahan. But that's not a team that you're supposed to skate against you if you truly believe you have playoff aspirations, like
that's
you said.
Missing their best defenseman.
Sure. Like Mark Giordano, he's out.
Yeah, and the Jets are missing Bogosian, obviously missing Trouba. But
still,
I mean, you see the goaltending that Calgary put out there?
The goaltending was AHL level at best. I mean, the goaltending, I mean, Kerry Ramo was just, I mean.
Well, he wasn't in.
Reno Barra.
If you watched him on Saturday, it was much better.
Sorry, that's what I meant. I meant Reno Barra was awful. I mean, the truth is the Jets are lucky to have escaped with a point here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had their chances a bit in the beginning of the game, and then the second period was just god-awful to watch. And third period, you know, they turned it on. It's one of these things where you keep turning it on to try and, you know, Ken Dryden talked about it in the book, The Game. You can't just turn it on. You have to play. I mean,
yeah.
And you see...
If you play at the level, at an average level for you, for this
average,
team...
It's just focusing and playing hard against a team that's not very good.
That's right. And then your third period
at home.
Your third period should be easy because they're.
And don't give me last night. That's junk.
No, they were home. They were home before they would normally be. They don't get home at 12 night. At you know, they were home in Winnipeg at midnight last night.
Yeah.
So don't tell me because they played last night and they're tired after back to back. That one doesn't hold any weight today. It's not like they got home to Winnipeg at 4 a.m. They were in their. They were at home and in bed by 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know. Yeah. Calgary opened the scoring at the 9-minute mark of the second period after probably the worst first period we've seen this year. Duller than dishwater.
There have been some bad ones, Drew. I mean, the second wasn't much better.
I know. Well, that tells you pretty much what you need to know about this game. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Calgary opened the scoring on the power play. Mike Camilleri with the goal from Lee Stempniak and Sean Monahan. You know, they work the puck down low. It's a cross-ice pass to Camilleri, who's set up on the side of the net, and he's got a sharp angle, but he beats Montoya. Mike Camilleri is a bona fide NHL player.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's for sure. And he sets up on his off-swing, likes to do that, kind of gets down on one knee at times. But this one, he just took the puck and Montoya cross-ice and couldn't get after it. And Camilleri just held it, and then just picked the whatever spot he wanted. And Flames are up 1-0. And, you know, Calgary is a team that, doesn't have a ton of depth, obviously, in terms of talent, but they worked hard. And people keep saying that, but it's true. You know, we'll talk about Lance Bowman in a second, a guy like that just busted his butt all night, and it ended up turning out for him. So, I mean, that's the kind of performance you want from some of your fringe guys. So,
that's,
you
know, right.
Calgary gets a lead 1-0, but if you watch this team, and I've watched them a bit lately, they can't close anything. Like, I mean, anytime they have a lead, and you'll talk, we'll talk about it later, they can't close. They don't know how to win.
That's a function of talent also.
You know, a function of talent, a function of youth.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, you know, guys, they're relying on youth in big spots. I mean, Monahan's, you know, centering a big line for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing in a guy like Joe Colburn, TJ Brody, nice player, plays a lot. You know, these are young guys in big roles for the first time, and, you know, they just can't close.
That's right. Jets tied the game 1:10 later. Michael Frolik gets the goal. Grant Klitsam and Dustin Byfuglien with the assist. Michael Backlund really lost his guy on this play.
Michael Backlund is a young guy who's, you know, hasn't turned into the player they thought. It's one of those youth potential things that just didn't end up turning out. Backlund has to get as a center and as the low guy in the defensive zone when Byfuglien passes the puck to Klitsam and Klitsam takes a shot and hits the body. Frolik is the open guy in coverage, mm-hmm. and he didn't have him covered. So if that's the case, which it was, then it's Backlund's bad. And I believe Backlund was benched in the second period for a portion of that period for overall poor play.
Yeah, I believe that to be correct as well. He certainly didn't play a lot after that incident. But what happened, yeah, exactly. It was a shot. Buff at the point, passes across to Klitsam. Mm-hmm. The shot is blocked. It doesn't get all the way through. And it bounces to Frolik, and he just wires it past Rito Barra into the back of the net, tying it up at 1. At the 15:24 mark of the second period, still in the second period, Calgary retakes the lead. TJ Brody with the goal, Chris Russell and Mike Camilleri with the assist.
Yeah, this is a lucky one. I think it went off two guys.
Yeah.
And Brody puts the puck towards the net and it bounces. And I mean, nothing Montoya can do, but the Jets, bad luck.
Yeah, Montoya, I don't even think saw the puck. Yeah. It was, you know, deflected off of Frolik up in the air and just sort of a knuckler. And nobody, it just sort of ended up in the back of the net before anybody realized. So after 40 minutes, it was 2-1 Calgary. And then in the third period, it took until the 8:16 mark for the scoring to start, but when it happened there, it came fast and furious at that point in time. It was Olli Jokinen. He gets revenge, quote unquote, on his old team, the Calgary Flames. Assist to Devin Setoguchi and Grant Klitsam. This was just an awful, awful goal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it just Jokinen shoots the puck basically from the blue line, and the puck just floats in. And it wasn't that much of a screen. And he didn't see it, obviously. Rio Bear didn't see it, but gotta save that if you want to stay in the National Hockey League, and he didn't. And there you go. So 2-0, and you know, a lucky goal. But I thought Jokinen played a nice game.
Yeah.
And I know Jokinen certainly has been better this year than he was last year, which is the most obvious statement, which is the most easy thing to predict because he couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah.
But he worked hard tonight, obviously against his former teammates, seemed especially motivated, and it was a good performance by him.
That's right. At the 11:17 mark, so just 3 minutes and 1 second after the Jets tied at Calgary again, made it 3-2. Lance Boma, you mentioned him before, assist to Matt Stajan. It's a shorthanded goal, and the refs blew this one.
I
mean, the Calgary Flames are coming in 2-on-2 on the Jets' defense. They just run a simple pick play.
They have Stajan on Byfuglien.
Yeah, you know, just like in the NBA, you know, Stajan puts a pick on Byfuglien. Boma skates in, he dekes past Montoya, and he puts it into the empty net.
Well, yeah, well, that's right. So, I mean,
blatant interference.
I think, you know what it might have been? No, it was Boma who ran into Byfuglien, and then Stajan who had the puck, and then Boma, I believe, I'm trying to remember now, and then Boma goes to the net, and Stajan makes the pass around Enstrom, Boma goes around the net and puts the puck in. So, yeah, Montoya got caught a little bit standing still there, but on a 2-on-1, it was a tough play for him, and Enstrom obviously was kind of left out to lunch there by the refs. So
yeah, should never have gone that far. Should have been a penalty on Calgary. The Jets should have had a 5-on-3 power play.
Absolutely.
There. To the Jets' credit, you know, it took them 53 seconds, but 53 seconds later, Dustin Byfuglien, who was the best Winnipeg Jet player tonight, on that same power play, gets he takes a slap shot from almost the face-off dot, collects his own rebound and takes another shot and beats Barra with it.
Oh, Will.
Yeah, that's just the only guy who actually demonstrated any will tonight.
Yeah, one of the very few, Drew, exactly. And he wanted it. He wanted that goal.
Mm-hmm.
You were at this game. You watched this game. He wanted to score there, and he was going to score, and he was pissed off about the call, about the interference. That all plays into the emotion of the game. Unbelievable effort there. Got to give him tons of credit.
Yeah, if the Jets had a team of Dustin Byfuglien's when it comes to emotion, they certainly wouldn't have a problem with the attitude in the dressing room.
Playing his way into serious Olympic consideration, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. I'd say right now you have to consider him at least. Yeah, he's in consideration.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, strong consideration, but we'll see what ends up happening there. Calgary battles back again 4 minutes and 24 seconds later at the 16:34 mark of the third period.
I don't know what Al Montoya is doing here. We couldn't get a good look in the replay, but he got knocked down by who knows what and just sat in his ass. So
yeah, he looked like he was just floundering like a fish out of water there. I mean, TJ Brody ends up, Yuri Hudler gets the goal from TJ Brody and Sven Berchi. I mean, Hudler sort of just turns and fires it on net and... Yeah.
Well, he passed up a shot originally,
yeah,
and then that's when it looked like Montoya fell down, went to Brody, came back to Hudler, and Hudler took a quick shot, and he was down. Montoya was down. Don't really know why.
Yeah.
It was random. I didn't see the replay there, but in any event, you got to be up. And
it looked like he went down like to try and block a wraparound, but then that was like 30 seconds before, and he just never got up. He was on his back for a while. The whole thing was bizarre. I have to see sort of a wider angle replay to see exactly what happened there. But it was 4-3 Calgary. That was at the, and there was 4 minutes and 26 seconds left in the game. And then with 5 seconds to go, I mean, the Jets were lucky just to send this game into overtime. And with 5 seconds to go, Evander Kane comes down the right hand side, fires a shot on net. Big rebound again by Barra.
Hey, the play here, I think it was Stempniak who was on the ice for Calgary. We don't have the game sheet here, but, you know, that's good effort by Little to go to the net. Obviously, good play by Kane to put the puck on net. But that's scouting report play. That's a scouting report play, meaning Stempniak has to know that Kane, first of all, the shot, the clock is indicating what he's going to do. But even if the clock wasn't at 5 seconds or whatever it was at, he was going to shoot it. So because he's Kane. So you have to know he's going to shoot it. So what you're going to do if you're Stempniak with two defensemen collapsed low is to take the next highest forward, who happens to be on his off wing, and Little, and just close him out because you know that the pass is not going to be made if you read the scouting report.
Sure.
And he didn't, or he wasn't focused, and the puck bounces out to Little.
Well, yeah, big rebound off of the pads from Barra.
But it gets him to take the guy with 5 seconds. Yeah. And by the way, you take a penalty even. It doesn't matter.
Sure, you're right. You hogtie, you tackle Brian Little. You don't let that shot get off. Little has an empty net to shoot it into.
But,
and
I mean,
he does.
Little's been clutch this year. Like he's been great. I mean, he's been their best forward for sure.
The puck is bouncing right where it needs to be for him. And
certainly their best defenseman's been Buff, and their best forward's been Little.
Yeah, I thought Kane actually had a decent game today. He laid the body at least to start the game a little bit, showed a little bit of energy.
Same game as always.
Yeah, I mean, he's relatively consistent for better or worse. He hasn't been able to get on the score sheet much lately.
I mean, he hasn't scored a ton of games now. Yeah. But.
Then overtime was back and forth with decent chances at both ends. Nothing really to talk about there. And then it went to the shootout, and Sean Monahan in round 8 of the never-ending shootout.
Yeah, round 8 of the never-ending shootout, Drew, I think that would be a fair assessment of the game tonight. The Monahan... Well, like that young player, really good player. But the goaltending was solid. It seemed like these guys kept going out and shooting and shooting and shooting. You wonder, hey, they had some success on the deke. Wheeler scored on the deke. And try to remember who popped the first one now.
For Calgary?
No, for the Jets.
Ladd was the other shooter. But he
had
a
forehand shot. Yeah. But yeah. But I mean, it's scouting report. I mean, Buff came down and he looked 5-hole and didn't have a good shot. And I'll put you this way. We can analyze a shooter all we want. It's a complete crapshoot. And they've been lucky lately, so you have to assume after a while they'll be unlucky.
You're right. I suspect, if they had 1,000 shootouts eventually, it would probably end pretty close to 500-500. Long story short, the Winnipeg Jets were defeated by the Calgary Flames. Just an inexcusable loss on home ice to one of the bottom three teams in the NHL, even with the better effort that Calgary puts forth. Winnipeg Jets have to make this an easy game because they have Chicago and Minnesota Thursday and Saturday, and we've seen that those two teams are far better than the Jets.
Amen to that, brother.
Why don't we end it there? Tomorrow, Wednesday evening, NHL Midweek on TSN 1290. Of course, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday. For producer Michael Remus, for my colleagues Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg of LegalCurve.com, and for Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve Postgame Podcast.